Hey, this is Steve Inskeep with a special update from Up First and NPR News. What can we make of a U.S. airstrike in Baghdad, Iraq overnight? A U.S. drone launched several missiles which killed Qasem Soleimani, a general from Iran, the commander of Iran's Quds Force. The strike drew threats of retaliation. We've been reporting the facts throughout the day on NPR News. Qasem Soleimani led Iran's Quds Force, which is involved in overseas operations outside of Iran's borders, including in Iraq, where it was tied with a militia that was accused of attacking U.S. interests. Overnight, Soleimani arrived at the Baghdad airport and a U.S. drone killed him along with an Iraqi militia leader. We're now going to hear different perspectives on what this attack means and what happens next. And we begin with Adam Kinzinger. He is a Republican lawmaker from Illinois on the House Foreign Affairs Committee and supports what President Trump ordered in Iraq. Was this attack the right thing to do?
You know, I think it was. If you really look at what's been going on, really for 30 years, but especially in the last year, there have been Iranian provocations, Iranian attacks, and the U.S. has never responded, with the exception of below the threshold of violent actions like cyber attacks or whatever. With what we've been seeing with the killing of American contractor, attacks on American bases, all around the region, we went after the guy leading that. I think it was the right move. We have to be prepared for Iran to respond, but an Iranian response is the next step. It's not all we've been doing is responding to their continued provocations. I think that's an important thing to note.
When you say we have to be prepared for Iran to respond, what kind of response are you prepared for mentally yourself?
Well, whatever it is, you know, there's any number of options. I don't like delineating what those options are. You know, obviously they have some things that they're at their toolbox, but let's keep in mind something else.
Well, let me break in for a second, because this is why I'm asking that question. I suppose if you're thinking through this series of events where Iran does something, the U.S. does something, Iran does something else, and now the U.S. has killed Qasem Soleimani, you have to ask yourself, say to yourself, I suppose, I don't think Iran is going to go to full-scale war on this. Or maybe you have to say, I am willing for the United States to go to war over this if it gets to that point. Which of those points of view is yours?
Well, I don't think they're going to, but you also have to be willing to deter. A lack of the ability to go to war or the will to go to war is what leads to continued provocations, because we have not responded. In your statement there, you said, Iran does something, we do something, Iran does something, then we kill. We haven't done anything. This is actually the real first attack against Iran. We didn't kill 100 people around an air defense site. Instead, we went after the man himself that's destabilized the region. So yes, there could be a response. It is the danger and it is the nature of world conflict. But I think the thing to keep in mind in all of this is that the United States has shown extreme calm, extreme patience in this, and we finally went after a guy that we all should be celebrating is dead, well understanding that this isn't necessarily the end. But also keep in mind, Israel many times strikes Iran with no response from Iran because they know what the response would be from the U.S. or Israel if they do.
You are correct that the United States had not launched this kind of kinetic, as they say, attack directly against an Iranian official. But as you yourself noted, the United States has applied pressure in various ways on Iran. And the larger context here is the U.S. pulling out of a nuclear deal and engaging in what it calls maximum pressure against Iran to isolate it and end its oil exports and bring down its economy. Do you see that as a strategy that is likely to work?
I think in the long term, yes. And keep in mind, the Iranian deal would be about halfway expired already by now. So in basically the time we were in it to that time again, they would be out of it with very little, if no constraints. And so I think in the long run, you know, when they took the money that they got from the deal, didn't invest it in Iran. That's why the Iranian people are on the streets protesting against the government. And instead invested it in these foreign forays into Lebanon, into Syria, 500,000 dead Syrians, because they upheld the government. We can see that that wasn't the right deal. We can get to a better one, but it's got to include behavior in the region.
Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Illinois and member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, thanks so much.
You bet. Take care.
NPR White House reporter Aisha Roscoe is in our studios. Aisha, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Busy day. We have been told that only two administration officials are likely to say very much to the domestic media today, the Secretary of State and the President of the United States. What are you hearing from them?
Well, so the President wasn't tweeting much overnight. That was unusual for him, but he did go back to tweeting this morning. And basically what he is saying is that Soleimani was plotting to kill many more Americans, and he got caught. And he tweeted that Soleimani should have been taken out years ago. And then you had a Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, in some TV interviews. He wouldn't get into the specifics of the threat that the administration saw and why they took this action just now. But he said that this strike saved lives. Here's more of what he had to say.
What was sitting before us was his travels throughout the region and his efforts to make a significant strike against Americans. There would have been many Muslims killed as well, Iraqis, people in other countries as well. It was a strike that was aimed at both disrupting that plot, deterring further aggression, we hope setting the conditions for de-escalation as well.
I guess we should mention Pompeo is not the only U.S. official talking about intelligence about an impending attack. We also heard Mark Esper, the defense secretary, yesterday, before we knew anything about this, saying the U.S. was prepared for preemptive strikes. They're casting this as a preemptive strike. We don't have the intelligence, though, right? We don't know what this supposed attack was or exactly what information the United States has about it.
No, they have not released that information yet.
Now, the administration next faces the question of where it wants this to go. President Trump has not been a fan of large Middle East wars.
No, he hasn't. The way the administration seems to be kind of casting this at this moment is that it has to keep Americans safe and that this action will make Americans more safe. But even as they say that, the State Department is telling Americans in Iraq that they need to get out immediately and that they shouldn't approach the embassy. And so there's no doubt that more troops are likely to get into the region. We've already had more going to Iraq after this attack on the embassy. And so this doesn't seem like it's setting the stage for what President Trump had talked about, which is pulling U.S. troops out of the Middle East.
Aisha, thanks very much for your insights. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
NPR's Aisha Roscoe. Now, a bit earlier, we heard Republican Congressman Kinzinger say that he would like to see the intelligence that caused the Trump administration to say that Iran was planning imminent attacks on U.S. interests in the region. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut would like to see that intelligence, too. He is a Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he came to the phone in the hours after the attack. Was it appropriate for the president to act in this way?
Well, I think the first question is whether the president has legal justification to do this. The president normally is allowed to use military action in order to prevent an imminent attack against the United States. And I think we will all look forward to the evidence that this, in fact, prevented attacks against U.S. personnel. The worry here, of course, is that this is actually going to get more Americans, not less Americans, killed. Is Qasem Soleimani more dangerous as a martyr than he was alive as the functional leader of the Quds Force? There will be reprisals. We have 5,000 U.S. personnel who are very vulnerable inside Iraq today. And of course, there is a potential that there will be reprisals against American political and military leaders. This is probably the highest ranking foreign official that the U.S. military has ever assassinated. And it is foolish to think that there aren't going to be serious mortal consequences for Americans either in the Middle East or potentially here in the United States.
I think I hear you saying, Senator, that if the facts are as the administration has laid out, that they did not need to come to Congress for some kind of authorization, but you want to know that those really are the facts. Is that correct?
He has the ability to prevent imminent attack against the United States without coming to Congress. I think we need to see the facts that that is, in fact, true. He does not have any other standing authorization to take out a strike against a country that we have not declared war against.
Do you see this? You said it was the most significant foreign official that the United States has assassinated. First, is assassination the right word for what happened here?
I don't see any other word for it. Again, this was not a covert assassination. We don't yet have a reckoning for all of the activity that the CIA may have been engaged in 50 years ago, but this was an attack by the U.S. military. And we generally do not attack heads of foreign states because ultimately we know that then that makes U.S. political and military figures vulnerable. And I imagine that of the consequences that the Iranians are considering today are attacks against high-level U.S. military and political figures. That's, I think, something we have to really grapple with today.
How widespread, then, is the risk? Is it merely within Iraq, or would you say the danger must be considered in a much wider scope?
Well, Well, Iran doesn't want a conventional military conflict with the United States, and so their response will be asymmetrical. That means that they are going to go after vulnerable American targets, whether they be in Iraq or civilian targets throughout the Middle East. So I think you can expect that there will be reprisals, and they will likely involve American casualties. But there's a whole other series of consequences here that I don't think the administration has thought through. Of course, this basically wipes out any potential to have an agreement with Iran over their nuclear program. They are going to restart their nuclear weapons program, I think, as a consequence of this. And I'm not sure how we stay in Iraq. If we did this without notification to the Iraqi government, I think we may be on a path to be pushed out of that country. And of course, we're there to fight another terrorist organization, ISIS. And if we no longer are in that fight, that presents a whole nother set of security threats to the United States.
Is it possible that the administration, the president here, has made a number of ruthless but plausibly correct gambles? A gamble that Iraq may not like this, but they're not going to throw the U.S. out. A gamble that Iran really will not like this, but they're not going to go for a full-scale war.
Listen, we don't know how this is going to play out, right? We can guess, and we can also probably correctly guess the administration hasn't really thought through this. But of course, all of us that remain deeply skeptical of this action are hoping that, in fact, we can continue our mission in Iraq against ISIS, that there isn't a full-scale catastrophic reprisal or series of reprisals from Iran. So I can't sit here and tell you I know how this is going to play out. I'm going to hope for the best. But right now, I think this administration acted as they have traditionally against Iran. They generally have been all tactics, no strategy. They make it up day by day. And my worry is that they took this action without thinking through the consequences of it.
Senator, thanks for your time, as always.
Appreciate it.
That's Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. Now let's go to NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis, who's been listening in. Hi, Sue.
Good morning, Steve.
How does that compare to other things that you're hearing from other lawmakers?
Well, I think you're seeing sort of a predictable party line response on Capitol Hill. There's been much more support among Republicans for the president's actions, noting that the target, Khamenei, was a sponsor of terrorism, had blood on his hands of American soldiers, and the president is being applauded for decisive action. I think that confidence from Republicans does sort of belie the fact that many Republicans are, in fact, quite concerned about potential escalating military actions with Iran. And this has been a conversation in Washington long before the Trump administration. However, when it comes to congressional role in this, I think it's worth reminding people that the Congress did debate this year, giving they had a vote in the Senate about whether the president should have to come to Congress for any potential military action with Iran. And that bill failed. They didn't have the votes to do it. So every time Congress has been given a chance to reclaim some of those war powers that have been ceded to the presidency, they decline.
Is there any appetite in Congress among any but a few lawmakers for a full-scale war with Iran?
No, but I do think there is going to be a broad bipartisan interest in hearing from the president in the coming hours and days about what the long-term strategy was here. What is the strategy with Iran, and what is the military strategy with Iran? I think what the senator said about raising the threat against U.S. military personnel and U.S. citizens because of this attack is one that is on the minds of everybody. And I think that in moments like this with a significant military action, it is not uncommon for the president to not only inform the Congress, but potentially address the nation as well.
And of course, we heard Murphy phrase it as all tactics, no strategy. The question is, what is the strategy, at least from some lawmakers? Sue, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That is NPR's Susan Davis. Now let's bring in Ariane Tabatabai, who is a political scientist with the RAND Corporation focused on the Middle East and Iran. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So we heard that Soleimani was a very, very popular person, maybe the most popular person in Iran. But was there also some divided opinion? Was he really that popular with everybody?
Well, first of all, we always have to take opinion polls with a grain of salt. Yes, there have been a number of polls that suggest that he was incredibly popular within Iran, but the IRGC writ large and Soleimani specifically have also been viewed widely in the country, rightly so, as forces of repression at home and of chaos abroad.
And would it be the Quds Force that works with Iran's various allies, Syria, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, forces in Yemen, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Soleimani personally oversaw a lot of these relationships, and the Quds Force more generally has worked to train, equip, assist, and deploy more recently forces to various theaters where Iran is involved, from Afghanistan all the way to Lebanon.
So that leads to two questions. Would the Quds Force possibly be at the forefront of any retaliation against the United States?
You bet. They're going to be involved in any attacks that happen next. They're typically involved in, and they have been involved over the past few months, in the tensions that have unfolded between the United States and Iran. So their latest attack that led to the killing of a U.S. contractor, that would have been done with Soleimani's approval and green light, and the Quds Force would have been involved in it.
It sounds like you do not have much doubt that Soleimani was guilty as charged here.
Yeah, I think that's pretty crystal clear. The question right now is not whether or not Soleimani was guilty. He was responsible for killing hundreds of Americans in the 2000s. He's been responsible for spreading terrorism in the region. I think the major question is whether it made sense strategically for the United States to do this at this stage.
Let me ask another question, though. Soleimani was just described as Iran's indispensable man. Well, he's gone. Does that significantly weaken Iran?
I do think that it's hard to overstate how significant this is. You know, Soleimani had very close personal relationships with the leaders of all these different groups that it works with throughout the region, from Hezbollah to the Shia militias to the Houthis. So that is pretty significant. And he had incredible experience and knowledge that had made him such a powerful force in the region. That said, he has built this apparatus that is going to be there for the foreseeable future. And that's not going anywhere with a decapitation attack. So, you know, I don't expect Iran's foreign policy to change fundamentally following this strike.
Thanks for your insights. Really appreciate them.
Thanks for having me.
Ariane Tabatabai is a political scientist with the RAND Corporation focused on the Middle East and Iran. Hey, thanks for listening to this special update. Go to NPR.org and tune into your local NPR station for live coverage of this developing story.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Texas Children's Hospital. Texas Children's Hospital has made it their mission to provide the best possible care for kids, from common ailments to the most complex conditions. Learn more or make an appointment at texaschildrens.org.